Invite you to turn to two passages this morning. We'll be in Revelation chapter 12 and John chapter 8. We've been working our way through the book of Revelation in these morning services. We're spending a little more time examining what God's word says concerning the dragon that's mentioned here in Revelation 12, or the devil, Satan. And we'll do that by looking at a passage from John chapter 8. I'll begin, though, first reading from John chapter 12 and verse 7. Hear the word of Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And I'll direct you to the last verse of that chapter. Then the dragon became furious with the woman, that is, the people of God, the church, and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. And then from John chapter 8, beginning in verse 38. I speak, Jesus said, of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They, that is, the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of what your father did. They said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of God. God's word stands forever. Praise the Lord. Let's call on the name of the Lord as we come before his holy word today. Let's pray. Oh, our glorious and gracious Heavenly Father, we do bow again our heads before you with reverence and awe, because you are worthy of our reverence and awe. You are the holy, pure, perfect, glorious God, the living and true God, the one before whom we will one day stand to give an account. The creator and the ruler, indeed the king of glory. Lord, we bow confessing our need for grace, our need for truth, our need for wisdom, our need for strength, our need to know you, our need for our souls to be fed. We know we sense it, that we cannot live on earthly food alone. Our souls will starve. We need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we pray today that you would come and equip us, feed us, nourish us, and strengthen us. We pray, Lord, that we would leave this place with a better understanding of who we are, of who you are, and of who our enemy is. You would equip us to fight the good fight of the faith to the very end. Oh, Lord, we pray you draw near to everyone who hears my voice today, those joining on live stream and those who are with us here. Lord, you are able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Sometimes we forget that, and we fear, and we are anxious, and we get worried and stressed, especially in the middle of the night. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Bless each person here and each family represented and all of our loved ones of our families scattered all around the world. You know what each one needs this very moment most of all. Pray that you would provide. And now come, Lord, and help me. May the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus himself, shepherd his flock here through this humble means of the preaching of the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we began looking a few weeks ago at Revelation chapter 12 in our journey through the book of Revelation, and we saw this vivid picture using images and signs of the spiritual battle in the heavenly realms. That's explained in Ephesians chapter 6, where you are encouraged to put on the full armor of God. And concluding in this chapter in verse 17 with the truth of Revelation 12, 17, that the dragon has gone off to wage war against those who hold to the testimony of Jesus, that is, those who hold to the gospel, that is, those who are sitting here today and those in the hearing of my voice, to believers. He's waging war against you. The whole book of Revelation, you'll remember, was written as an encouragement to God's people. Here's what's really going on in the heavenly realms, and it's communicated. The book of Revelation is a picture book communicating truth in images, in signs, in pictures. God gives to his people in picture form a heavenly view, and here in chapter 12, a heavenly view of the battle against Satan. As I said last week, we need to understand our chief opponent. The title of last week's message was, we need to know what we're up against. What are we up against? Yes, in this world that's full of evil and persecutions and sorrow and suffering and murder and strife, but our battle is not primarily against a battle against flesh and blood. Our battle is a spiritual one against rulers and authorities, as Paul writes in Ephesians 6, against powers in this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And my goal as a pastor is to build you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you, that you might take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And the way we do that is by understanding who our chief opponent is, right? That we might know what we're up against. Because Satan, who is the father of lies, even lies about himself. We need to stand firm with the belt of truth. We need to know how to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready so that we won't be deceived, that we can pray in the Spirit. I need to stop wearing this when I preach. We need to be prepared against all the flaming darts of the evil one so that we will be alert and our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Last week, we looked at Revelation chapter 12 and how the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. That is, he whispers accusations to you and through others. He's the one who has been served an eviction notice. He's been cast out, and he is the one who is conquered. Here, as we read this morning in John chapter 8, again, John, the same one who recorded all the things of Revelation 12, is the writer of the Gospel of John, one of the first disciples, one of the 12 apostles. He gives us here, through the lips of Jesus, the devil's profile. The devil's profile. Now, Jesus, in John chapter 8, is in the midst of a conversation, a dispute with the Jewish leadership, the scribes and Pharisees. They're mentioned there in verse 3. And in the end of this chapter, in verse 59, they take up stones to throw at him. This is not just a crowd. This is the religious leadership. Now, usually, it's not polite to listen in to someone else's conversation, right? But God wants us to do that here. He wants us to see something. He's revealing something to us here. He has a purpose for us to listen into this conversation between Jesus and the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem in the first century. He has a purpose. The discussion is using the images of light and darkness, freedom and slavery, good and evil. They claim, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in slavery. He's told them that by their reaction, by what they're doing to him and his ministry, that they are not children of Abraham. If you were children of Abraham, you would love me. You might be blood descendants, Hebrews. You might be blood descendants of Abraham, but you bear no resemblance to him. And they respond to him in chapter 8, Abraham is indeed our father, and God is our father. And they say, we're not illegitimate children. That's a slanderous accusation at Jesus. We're not, verse 41, born of sexual immorality. See, they are throwing out an accusation at Jesus. The rumors in Nazareth followed him, came to Jerusalem. The rumors about this Mary who had a baby before, was pregnant before she married Joseph. It's a slam against Jesus. And they also slam him later in this chapter, suggesting, verse 48, that he's Samaritan, that he's half-breed. Now, the other thing that they might be suggesting is something that the Old Testament prophets, charges they made against Israel. The Old Testament prophets called Israel faithless, that they had gone after strange gods, worshiping idols, they'd committed spiritual adultery. They were considered then children of adultery or illegitimate children. They're saying, we're not like that. We are faithful to the temple. We haven't gone astray from God like you, Rabbi. And then Jesus corrects them, but he corrects them as only God can. He says, if God were your father, you would love me because I come from him. Verse 42. And he says, the reason you do not love me, the reason you don't understand the truth, is because you have a diabolical influence in your life. Spiritually, morally, you are related to the devil. He doesn't mince words, does he? That brings us to our subject this morning. Jesus reveals to us some very clear instruction about the character of Satan. He gives us, you might say, a bio here on the devil, a description. He gives us the devil's profile. There are three things I'd like you to see, and there is an outline in your bulletin this morning there on page 8. Three very important points that Jesus makes from this passage on the devil's profile. He is a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar and the father of lies, and he has spiritual children among us. Jesus says, you're of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, verse 44. Literally, he's a manslayer. As part of his resume, you look back and read through the history of the Old Testament, starting with the very beginning, Adam and Eve, it was the devil. It was the devil who sent the earth under the curse, the human race into death. It was through the devil that sin entered the world. It was the devil who dreamed up the destruction of man. God said, you may not eat of this or you will die. And it was the devil who said, oh, go ahead. Go ahead and eat. You won't die. They believed his lie. And death came into the world. Cain murdered his brother Abel, a murder inspired by jealousy, anger, selfish pride, inspired by the devil. Remember, before Noah's flood, how is the earth described in Genesis 6? The Lord saw how great man's wickedness had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The earth was corrupt and full of violence. Man's great wickedness. We still see it today. It's all around us. I remember a number of years ago driving with a friend who'd picked me up from the airport in Houston and driving off to a church. I was going to a missions conference, and there was this huge billboard just so vile, proclaiming just vile, evil stuff. And he said, "Would you look at that? Just wicked. Just so wicked. On public display, advertisement paid." It was the devil who put into Judas's heart to betray Jesus for the purpose of having him arrested and put to death. Everybody knew that the leaders of the Jews, Judas knew this, the leaders of the Jews were seeking to arrest him in order to put him to death. Right? And every murder ever since, whether it's planned or in surprise anger, has this master behind it, the murderer. Every time innocent blood is shed, whether it's a few kids who knock off a guy off his bike or a serial killer who stalks his victims, it's wicked. It's wicked. It's contrary to the God of life. And the devil is standing there in the shadows. Right? The mass murders of Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Stalin, Hitler, Saddam Hussein, the 9/11 hijackers, even this attempted murder of Salman Rushdie the other day. The devil stands in the shadows. He's the one who schemed and planned them all. This is the one who looks on with rejoicing at the mass graves in Ukraine. This is the one who delighted on September 11th when those towers came crumbling down. He has come to steal and kill and destroy. It's his desire. To destroy you, to destroy your soul, if he could. The Word of God says he prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may, what? Devour. Devour. He wants to destroy you, to eliminate you. He hates you. Think of that every time you're tempted. His desire is to destroy your life. To destroy life, and he's furious. That's what Revelation 12 says. He is furious, and he's gone off to wage war against those who keep to the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, that is, those who hold to the gospel. That is, he's waging war against you. So don't be surprised. Secondly, in his profile, by one who's known him for millennia, that is the Lord Jesus, Jesus says he is a liar. He's a liar and the father of lies. The devil hates the truth. And he loves falsehood. He hates the truth. It was through a lie that he brought death into the world. He lied to Adam and Eve. He twisted the truth. He loves lies. He's a wellspring of lies. He's a master manipulator. And so every false thought, every cover-up, every twisted half-truth, every twisted doctrine of the cults, every exaggeration, every lie comes from the devil. That's why God says, you shall not bear false witness. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Why? Because it's not like God. And it's so much like the devil. From the beginning, he says, he's not been holding to the truth. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is revealing something else here from the devil's resume. The devil is fallen. He's a fallen creature. He was an angel, was not created evil. The angels apparently went through some time of testing, just like Adam and Eve, but the devil rejected the truth. He did not hold on to it. Ezekiel writes that at one time the devil was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. He revolted against the Lord and led a host of other angels with him, as they are called the fallen angels. And he's awaiting his judgment. Even his fallen angels know that their doom is sure. In fact, one time when Jesus is about to cast out demons, they said, "Have you come to cast us down before our time?" And again, he hates everything about God. God is life. The devil hates life. God is light. The devil hates light. God is good. The devil hates everything good. God is true and the foundation of truth. The devil hates the truth. God is love. The devil hates love. The greatest of these is love, and God is love. Oh, how the devil hates love, and he mutates it and twists it. He lies about God, and he casts doubt in your mind about his promises. Why do you think Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Not one of God's promises, you know, not one of God's promises has ever failed"? Why does he have to say that? Because they attempted to believe the lie of the devil that God hasn't been faithful to keep his promises. He's a liar and the father of lies, and when he lies, he has a goal: to kill and steal and destroy, to destroy you. So we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised at all by errors and heresies and deceptions and lies. The devil is a thousand different ways, million different ways he can bend the truth. He's had so much practice. But with the spirit of truth, you can recognize his work, right? His lies are rampant today. But with the word of truth and the power of the spirit, the wisdom from God, we can discern his lies. His lies are rampant, and there's a lot of people who have very limited knowledge of God's word, and they're so easily deceived. He calls what is evil good and what is good evil, and then they agree. Right? Express yourself. You have a right to. You can define who you are. There's no limits. You can say, "God made me this way." You can self-identify however you want. We are all born sinners, but we're all born corrupt as well. See, the pyromaniac could say the same thing. "I just love setting things on fire. Just let me be me." Right? The thief, the shoplifter could say, "I just love stealing things. What's wrong? It's not hurting anybody. I've done this since I was young." Well, there's all kinds of lies that he perpetrates all over the place. And sometimes through the voices of others, the wisdom of others, the influence of the press, the influence of the culture, social media, even sometimes your own selfish thoughts, we're led into lies. They're all around us. His lies are rampant in today's culture. Everywhere you turn, right? If I'm not happy, God must not love me. That's a lie. Word of God says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy," no matter what. "My sins are what define me. I'll never be anything. I'll never be good enough for God." No, in Christ you're a new creature, and he's cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Some people believe the lie, "I'm alone. I'm all alone. I'm the only one who struggles like this." Oh no, God has said, he'll never separate you from his love. Jesus will be with you to the end. And we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's in every respect been tempted just as we are, and yet without sin. Some people believe the lie, "If I'm not perfect, God won't love me." Well, that's nowhere found in Scripture. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, "I'm the chief of sinners. Who will free me from this body of death? Only Jesus Christ. So I press on towards the goal." Some people believe the lie, "God knows, I'll be happy when I get this." Trying to fill this emptiness inside with something. Well, that's a lie. The Apostle Paul said, "I've learned whatever situation I am in to be content. I've learned in any circumstance, when facing plenty or hunger, abundance, or need, I can do all things through strength, God who strengthens me. I've learned the secret of being content. Some people believe the lie that God really isn't, after all, good. Over and over in the Word of God, it says the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in days of trouble. Some people believe the lie that everybody's beliefs are equally valid and true. It doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Some people may not say it, but they think that it's all about me. The world revolves around me. No, it's about God. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. There's people who believe the lie, and I know them, I've met them, I've heard them. I cannot forgive him or her or you. And they call themselves believers. And they think it's okay. God knows my weakness. I wish I could forgive, but I never will. God's word says, forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. If we don't forgive, we don't know God's forgiveness. Some people believe the lie with their resources. I don't give to God because I don't have enough to give. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. In fact, this is the only place where God says, test me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. And Jesus praised the widow who brought that just little coin. He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the rest, for she has given a tiny part of their surplus, but poor as she is, she's given everything she has. Some people believe the lie, I'm not good at praying, so I just don't pray. I don't know how to pray. Well, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. In fact, we may not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit helps us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And that tax collector in the story of the parable, the tax collector and the Pharisee, he just says, Lord, have mercy on me. He kept saying that, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, beating his breast. There's people who believe the lie that the Bible isn't relevant for today. Same lie Satan gave to Adam and Eve. Did God really say? No, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, and it convicts us. That's why people turn away from the Word of God. Oh, and one lie that the devil loves is that the devil's just a fantasy, a fable. The devil loves that one. Right? It keeps people in the dark if people don't know that he's there. Oh, we shouldn't be surprised at all the errors and heresies and deceptions. He's the father of them all. And then lastly, in the devil's profile, he has spiritual children among the sons of men, among us. You know, just as easily as you can see the resemblance of parents and children, I know that's a frightening thought to some kids. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I used to go to Butler, Missouri, where my mom was raised. And, oh, there's Mary Lois's boy. We can see it. When we used to have a house phone on the wall in Michigan, as our boys became older and into high school and their voices dropped, they sounded just like me on the phone. People would call for Eric, and they'd start talking to one of the boys thinking it was me. You can recognize some kids as the spitting image of their parents. The same is true of the devil. Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. Millions and millions, billions in fact, are under his sway. Rich people, poor people, educated people, illiterate people, powerful people, helpless people in every country. Some are even religious leaders today. Some are even in the church. Jesus asserts to the Jewish leaders He says, what you're doing proves who your father is. You have a relationship with the devil. The devil is your father, he says. What's the proof? Well, they want to carry out the wishes of the devil to kill, and they lie. Remember, Jesus says, you know, you'll know a tree by its fruit. That's what Jesus is saying here. You're, verse 41, you're doing the works your father did. Your will is to do your father's desire, to carry out your father's desire. Well, how does that differ from the Christian then who sins? Well, the Christian is troubled by his sin, right? Or her sin. And we turn to Christ for mercy, for forgiveness. These guys weren't troubled at all. They weren't bothered at all that their desire was to kill Jesus. In fact, they were telling everybody. You can recognize them today. They cherish an intense hatred for Jesus. That's one clear sign of those who are children of the devil. Because they have as their spiritual father the perpetual enemy of God and the gospel, and they imitate him. They are fed ideas by him. They resemble him. They follow him. They are led to fight by him. They're slaughtering people in northern Nigeria this day and other countries who hold to the gospel. And like the leaders you have in John chapter 8, they don't have a clue. They're so blinded, so deaf, so enslaved, they are deceived themselves about God and judgment and life and death. You see, we're called children of God because we resemble him, and we ought to more and more, right? We feed on his word. We listen to his voice. We desire to imitate him, to be like him, to seek his glory, to seek his honor, to seek his favor, to seek his smile, his blessings. We want to resemble God, to follow him, to know him, and be led by him. And because the evil one has spiritual children among the human race, we shouldn't be surprised at the strenuous efforts people make to discredit Christianity, to discredit Christians, to discredit the Word of God. We shouldn't be surprised that witnesses to the truth are threatened and persecuted and killed. We shouldn't be surprised to find great heresies in the church. We shouldn't be surprised to find churches, even local churches, split by troubles and animosity and bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. We shouldn't be surprised to read of wicked, evil, despicable murders and heinous acts of violence. The hater of the human race is behind them all. I know there's a lot of pastors that are loath to preach this. There are churches where they want to say, everybody's okay. We believe in the universal fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. We're all children of God. As long as we're sincere, it doesn't matter what you believe. That is not the clear teaching of the Lord Jesus. That is not what we find in the book of Revelation. That is not what Jesus says here in John chapter 8. That is not what the Bible clearly teaches, nor what history has proven. There is a devil. He's a very real and personal being. He's not just an impersonal force. He's a very powerful, sneaky, intelligent being. He's not just some vague idea. No, he has a legion of personal helpers. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a joke. Oh, that's the greatest lie, to convince people he doesn't exist. He's not someone to be idealized or idolized. He's dangerous. He's wicked. And yet he's not the equivalent of God on the evil side. It's not like there's this yin and yang balance. No, he will one day be judged by God. Don't underestimate him. He wants to ruin you and destroy your soul. But at the same time, don't overestimate him. He has no power over you. If someone even verbally threatens you who claims to be a Satanist, if someone threatens you with the power of the devil, you don't have to be afraid. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not afraid. To those who received the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave them the right to become children of God, even to those who've been under the devil's wicked sway for years, like the Apostle Paul, who was breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and was responsible, as first century Jewish historian says, for thousands of deaths. Just like in Christ's day, there's two roads in life. There's the broad road that leads to destruction, and many are on it, following the lies of the evil one. And there's the narrow road that leads to life. If you don't belong to Jesus, you're on the broad road, following the evil one. For the Christian, the devil's goal is to prevent and dissuade those who hold to the testimony of Jesus, who hold to the gospel. The only hope we have is to cry out to the Lord, come to Jesus today, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and live. The whole goal of the book of Revelation is to encourage you, to remind you, the Lord reigns. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. Praise the Lord. We can say, it is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would have mercy on us, each one, that you would apply these truths to our lives in such a way that we would never forget them. Lord, give us confidence as we go out into the world, and give us eyes to see the deceptive work of the father of lies everywhere. Give us confidence in the changeless truth, the Word of God. Lord, bless our morning tithes and offerings today. Use them to build your church and to bless others. Father, we pray that Christ would be honored in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.